This is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's word, train God's people, and release God's favor. After this message, please continue listening for important information about Christians for Messiah Ministries. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins. This message is entitled, Women in Ministry Training.
We just celebrated last week, the Passion Week, Passover, and Resurrection Sunday. And just around the corner, we're going to have Mother's Day. So I thought this message was just going to fit right in here perfectly. And let me say to you men who have come here today as accompaniments of that princess that you have brought, this message is for you as well. Because ministry training is the same whether it's male or female. This one just happens to bring about a picture of a powerful woman of God in the scriptures. Her name is Martha, and she is the most underrated and misunderstood woman, I think, in the whole Bible. When we go through the scriptures and see what the Lord says about Martha and what he says to Martha, by the end of this meeting, you will have a totally different perspective on who this woman of God is and what she is about to accomplish. And I want to just connect that with your life, because there are so many people, especially women in this place today, who have a powerful call of God on your life. And yet, for one reason or another, it's like you might be a shadow, or you might be somebody kind of in the background, somebody who has not flown her flag, soared through the heavens like an eagle, and planted that flag on the mountain of the Lord that belongs to you. And ladies, I'm calling you up today to be powerful ministers of the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and your care and your goodness to us. Lord, I thank you that each one in this place was made in the image and likeness of God, and that you have called us to great things, to partner with you for your destiny and purpose on this earth. Today, we open our hearts to receive the word of the Lord and to go forward with what you have for us. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be reading a lot of scriptures to you, so I hope you have brought your Bible. Pull the sword out of the sheath now and open your Bible to Luke chapter 10. And I'm going to read to you the first incident that Jesus has when he meets Martha. You know who Martha is? Sister of Mary, sister of Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. Jesus became the good friend of that family. And now we read in Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Luke 10, 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha. Notice it doesn't say where a man named Lazarus or a woman named Mary. It says where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. We can learn as much from the scriptures by what is not there, almost as much as we can learn from what is there. And let's take a look at what is not there about this family, and it will tell us a whole lot about the culture and who this woman, Martha, is. First of all, we find that when Jesus comes to this village, which of course is Bethany, a woman named Martha invites Jesus to come into her home. It's not Lazarus' home. It's not Mary's home. It's Martha's home. What does this tell us? We have three adults who are siblings and they are living together. In Bible times, this is very unusual. Probably their parents died when they were quite young. If you put the pieces together, I would suggest to you something like this. When their mom and dad died, Martha might have been about 25 years of age. Mary might have been 14. And Lazarus might have been the ripe old age of 10. That's why it's Martha who inherits the home. She's the owner of this home where her brother and her sister also live. If Lazarus was older, he would have inherited the home. But Martha owns the home. That's what the Bible says. So then we must conclude that not only are Mary and the Lazarus a lot younger, but it's likely that Martha was the stopgap parent for them. I wonder if there's anybody here who basically had to raise their younger siblings. As a pastor, I've met many people along the way who, because of some tragedy or difficulty in a parent's life, that person, a little older than the rest of the members in the family, found themselves really caring for the younger children in the family. I think that's what happened. And it was probably something like 15 years later when Jesus walked into Bethany. Think of it. If this is true, what I have told you so far, then Martha would be about 40 years old. Mary would be about 29 years old. And Lazarus is about 25. And Jesus comes into town. It's no wonder that Martha, once they're sitting around in the home and Jesus is ministering, that she goes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, don't you care that Mary is not responsible?" Because Martha was really responsible. She had to take care. She was probably always telling Lazarus and Mary what they should be doing. She had to play surrogate mom. She had to be there to train those who were younger in the things that they should be doing to be good, responsible people. And probably Mary by this time had learned how to turn off that which the older sister had continually tried to teach her. But this was not something that Martha was ashamed about. She knew that Jesus would agree with her. That's why she said, "Lord, responsible Lord, wise Lord, Lord who cares about families, Lord Jesus, will you please tell Mary to help me? She's not listening to me." Some of you are relating already. Well, Jesus does not respond in that way, but instead he gives Martha a rebuke that some of us think has labeled Martha for all eternity. That she is a worrywart, an anxious person, and somebody who does not have a devotional heart towards the Lord. Nothing could be further from the truth. Do you know whom Jesus loves? He goes after and he rebukes, he chastens, he disciplines, and he teaches on a personal level. If the Lord doesn't let you get away with anything, it's because there's a high calling of God on your life. And so he said, "Martha, there is one thing that you need. And Mary, it's not going to be taken away from her." You see, you know what it's like, ladies. You're cooking a meal. You're preparing for the guests who are coming over. And there's some people of God sitting around in the living room having some good fellowship. And while you are fixing the lamb or the falafel, you know, the hummus or something like that, you're listening to the conversation in the other room. Martha isn't missing a word, but she is responsible. And Jesus goes after her like a heat-seeking missile. Who else did Jesus go after like this? Can you think of one person in the Bible who is always corrected? I heard his name. Peter. It seems wherever Peter walked, he was walking on eggshells. If he went this way, the Lord is going to correct him. If he goes this way, the Lord is going to correct him. Lord Jesus, we won't let you die. We will protect you. Get thee behind me, Satan. What do you want me to say then, Lord? I'm on your side. Don't call me Satan. Do you remember when Jesus walks on the water to the disciples? And Peter is the only one who gets out of the boat and walks on water. Looks back at the disciples. Say, you guys are chicken. Look at this. I'm a man of faith. He walks out on the water. Halfway to Jesus, he starts worrying about the waves. It's amazing he got that far, I think. He starts to slip, and Jesus grabs him by the hand, and they both get back into the boat. Jesus looks at him and says, oh, you of little faith. What do you mean? Little faith. Look at the ragtag bunch of disciples you have here. There's not a single one who got out of that boat except me. I am the one who has faith. Why was Jesus always picking on Peter? Because Peter was one of the most powerful men in all of the Bible, and he needed training. Ladies, you need training. Don't be discouraged when God or the Lord Jesus or the Holy Spirit gets a little rough with you. He has an assignment for your life. See, Peter didn't know back then when he was getting all of this correction that it was going to be him who would stand up on the day of Pentecost and say, these men are not drunk like you suppose, but this is the promise of the Holy Spirit of God, that he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and all of you will prophesy. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your slaves even will prophesy. Your old men and your young men will prophesy. And 3,000 people get saved. He turns around the corner, just in a couple more pages of scripture, he's going up to pray at the hour of prayer at the temple, raises a man from the dead. Or excuse me, a lame man. Later he raises somebody from the dead. He's the one who goes to the Gentile's house, Cornelius, and preaches the gospel to the Italians. And the Gentile doors open up and the gospel goes to the world. That's why Jesus is in his face all the time. And there's one other person in the Bible who Jesus is in her face, and her name is Martha. Now let me tell you about the town or village of Bethany. It is right next to Jerusalem. When you come with us to Israel, we will stand with you on the Temple Mount. We will just look a few hundred yards, and there is the Kidron Valley to the east. Up the other side of the Kidron Valley is the Mount of Olives. If you just go over the Mount of Olives on the eastern slope, you come to the village of Bethany, the village of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. The Bible says it was less than 2 miles away from Jerusalem. It is the last station on the Jericho Road that goes for 20 miles and rises from the lowest city in the world. It's a hard climb, 20 miles all uphill. And just before you come to Jerusalem, your last resting place is the town of Bethany. Jesus, coming from the Galilee, came along the Jordan River until he came to Jericho, then made a sharp right turn and went up the Jericho road to Jerusalem. And when he came into Bethany, here is this lady. Nobody else is asking Jesus to come and stay in their house. She is an initiator. She is not only a stopgap parent. She is not only a responsible lady. She is not only in ministry training, because the Lord is in her face, but she is an initiator. Ladies, most of you are the initiators in your family when it comes to social things. This is true. I feel it. I feel it in the room. You're the ones who said, let's do such and such. God has put something inside of you, ladies, and I want to suggest to you that you put it into a spiritual gear. That's what Martha did. With all of the stuff that she was involved with in her life, when Jesus came into town, she initiated, walked through the crowds, went up to the Lord Jesus and said, we would be honored, sir, if you would come and stay at our house. Ladies, there's been many a powerful woman of God who had a prophet's chamber in her home. When we go to Miami, we have a prophet's chamber in the home of Yvonne and Lo, where they've welcomed us there. And that's our home base in that place. It's like the last stop on the Jericho Road before you hit South America. Well, let's go on to the next scripture where we see Lazarus raised from the dead. Will you turn with me to John chapter 11? In John chapter 11 and verse 1, we read, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now look at this verse 5. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Isn't that interesting, the order and the fact that the scripture says Jesus loved these three, starting with Martha. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. Now look at verse 14. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. What does this tell you? This lady, Martha, is a fighter. She is an instigator. She is one who wants what God has, and she is going always to the point of action. That's what you ladies have been called to. Verse 21, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. This woman has amazing faith, doesn't she? She comes to the Lord Jesus and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now, if you ask, God will give you whatever you ask. I think the people that I know who have the greatest faith are the ladies. I'm sure there are some extraordinary men, but I see this proliferated among the women of God. One of the women of God who I knew who had extraordinary faith was my grandmother, Lydia Prince. And she was an awesome and fearful woman to be in the presence of if you had any sin in your life or if you lacked faith. She'd look right through you and she'd say, Peter, she was Danish. She'd say, Peter, come and talk to me. Come and sit here. That was it. You were set up with a lie detector test. She had the spirit of discernment and such faith. If God said it, that was the end of the story. I knew of people who had family members who were in sin and drugs and all kind of wickedness. And when they found that Lydia Prince was praying for them, they knew the issue was settled. That person was going to come to the Lord. Well, Martha says, what faith she has. She says, Lord, and I know that even if you ask God, he will give you whatever you ask right now. And then in verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. Listen to these words. Don't go over them too quickly. The strongest teachings from Jesus about the resurrection of the dead in the whole Bible is given personally to a lady, and her name is Martha. Ladies, there's angels coming to visit you. The Holy Spirit is coming to visit you. And he's coming with revelation that isn't commonplace. He's coming to inspire you. And here this fabulous teaching is given to Martha in a private meeting. It's a good thing that the disciples were listening, or else it might not have been inscripturized. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He's saying two things. He says, if you believe in me and you die, you're going to be raised up on the last day. And if you don't die, remember what Jesus said? Then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. He says, if you don't die when I come, you shall never die. He's giving this amazing teaching to her. And Jesus said, she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Can we stop there? What has she just said? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, who has come into the world. Who else said this to Jesus? Peter, only Peter, not the rest of the disciples. This is the only other person that Scripture records as knowing, without being told by somebody else, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it's Martha. Ladies, don't take a back seat. Don't stand down. It's time that you serve the King of Glory with all that you are, with all that he's given you. And Martha says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 28, after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and he's asking for you. And Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but he was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, If you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have they laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord. They replied, and Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus once more was deeply moved, and he came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha. Martha is again having direct confrontation. She's just like Peter. Lord, you cannot die. We will protect you. She's the one who's cutting across and going back and forth with the Lord. Ladies, this is how the Lord will teach you. When the Lord tells you something and you don't have the faith yet, you have not yet had the information to go forward, you say, but Lord, what about? And you wrestle with the angel of the Lord. That's what Peter did, although he didn't know it at the time. That's what Martha's doing, although she doesn't know it either. But Lord, Martha said, the sister of the dead man, by this time, there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. And Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you, Martha, would see the glory of God? I'm speaking to you, ladies. Did I not tell you, if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they might believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. What happened in the lives of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha when this took place? What would happen if it happened to you and your brother had died or your family member had died and they had already gone to the morgue and had already gone through whatever procedures have to take place there? And then that family member was buried and Jesus shows up 4 days later. The tomb is opened, and out of that tomb comes your brother. That's it. Whatever you need to do for God for the rest of your life, you just signed up. You can't help being a minister from that point on. This is going to go so deeply inside of you. You will never forget it. Your whole life, till the day you breathe your last breath, will be set on course to serve the King of Glory. Some of you are partway there. And Martha, from this point on, I mean, she was already full of faith. She was already receiving high-octane revelation. She was already moving in servanthood. She was already a woman who was an instigator, an initiator, one who would not sit down and let the world go by. She's an outstanding woman of God, just like you. And now, Jesus comes and raises her brother from the dead. Let's go to the next place. Are you still with me? There's still a lot more to share about this lady. She's going to start moving up into high gear. But let's go to John chapter 12. Because this now moves into the place where Passion Week begins. Passion Week is that week that starts with the Passover and moves through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. This is Holy Week in the Christian calendar, and it all begins in Bethany with Martha and Mary and Lazarus. I want you to keep your finger here in John chapter 12, but get ready to flip over to Mark 14. All right? Now look what it says. 6 days before the Passover. That's when Jesus is going to die. This is 6 days before Jesus is going to die. 6 days before the Passover, John 12, 1. Jesus arrived at Bethany where Lazarus lived. And Jesus was whom Jesus raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Why did Jesus come? Well, he came for the crucifixion, but they didn't know that. They had planned a party to honor Jesus 6 days before he's going to die. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served. Well, Martha served. Praise God for Martha. Well, Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. One of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. Verse 7, leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Now just look over and see the same story being told in Mark. Mark chapter 14. And verse 1. Now the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away. And the chief priests and teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home, take note of this, of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar, poured the perfume on his head. Some of those who were standing about were indignant about it. Why was the waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages. Verse 6, leave her alone, Jesus said. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing for me. The poor you will always have with you. And you can help them at any time, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body before to prepare for my burial. So this is the same story. It's the same Mary. It's the same town of Bethany. But this scripture tells us something a little different. It says that it happened in the house of Simon the leper. See, Lazarus wasn't the only person who received a powerful miracle in the town of Bethany. There was a leper there, a very wealthy man named Simon. And when Jesus was coming there, probably on his first visit, he ministered to this leper, this wealthy businessman, and healed him. From that day, he was still called Simon the leper, even though he wasn't a leper anymore. And now the time came, 6 days before Passover, he comes to the village of Bethany. He's going to stay with Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, but the town has decided to throw a party in honor of Jesus. Why do they want to honor Jesus? Well, he raised up Lazarus from the dead in the village. And not only that, he healed Simon the leper. So they probably agreed together. They probably had one of those homeowners committees. who came together and said, we need to have this big party, and we need to have the biggest home that's available. So they said, well, Simon the Leper's home. That's because the whole village is going to come. If somebody in your town raises somebody from the dead and everybody knows him and does powerful miracles on his return visit, you're going to have a party to honor him. And you're going to look for the best place to have it. And in this case, it was the house of Simon the Leper. So we know he was a very wealthy man to have such a... See, Martha's home wasn't that big to have the whole village come. So it was held in the home of Simon the Leper. But who served? Hello? And Martha served. What does this tell us? She had a catering business. I kid you not. If you travel the world, you will find this cottage home business in Cuba, in India, in Mexico, where people are trying to make a little bit more money. And so a lady down the street who's an excellent cook, she cooks, and everybody who's having some kind of party goes to her and says, we're going to have this bar mitzvah. We're going to have this birthday. We're going to have whatever it is. And we want you to cook for us. I was in Cuba 3 times. And on one of those times, we were staying in the house of the pastor. And it came supper time. Well, the lady of the house wasn't cooking, but all of a sudden people came walking down the street and they had this big platter with rice on it that had been so nicely put together it looked like a cake. And then a big, you know, bowl of chicken and stewed vegetables. And they brought these in and put them on the table. They came from the lady down the street who had a catering business in the town of Bethany. When they were ready to have a party to honor Jesus, who's going to cook the food? This is question number 2 for the committee. There's no question about it. Martha. She's the one who does it right. And Martha served. Ladies, it is good if you're a businesswoman. It is biblical. It is Proverbs 31. It is business type ladies who do business for the Lord. So she is many things. She is a caterer. She has her own business. She's a stopgap parent. She's a giver of hospitality. She opens her home to Jesus. And while she's there, she not only provides, but she gets down and serves as well with her own hands. She's a server. She's an initiator, an entrepreneur. She's a woman of powerful faith and has all kinds of revelation. And she is a disciple in training like nobody except perhaps Peter in the scriptures has such personal interactions of this intensity with the Lord Jesus. When Mary is at that dinner where they're honoring Jesus, she takes a year's worth of money in the form of perfume in an alabaster jar and breaks it. Why would Mary pour out a whole year's worth of value, probably her dowry for marriage? But she pours it on the feet of Jesus. And she wipes. This happened one other time. In the house of a Pharisee, it says a sinner came. Closer to Galilee. And a woman put perfume on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. Some say it was Mary Magdalene. But now this is just in preparation for his burial. The first one wasn't for that. In the town of Bethany, Jesus is with his dear friends, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Now we're going to read one more verse, and then I'm going to share a whole pile more things and close this message. go with me to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21 is about Passion Week. It starts off with this powerful dinner in the house of Simon the leper in the town of Bethany, where Mary, Martha, Lazarus, and the whole village want to honor the Lord Jesus. Martha is in ministry training. And it says in verse 21, as they approached Jerusalem, this is chapter 21, verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Bethphage and Bethany are twin towns. If you go to Mark chapter 11, verse 1, you have the same account. And it says, and they came to the town of Bethphage and Bethany. Puts them together. And Jesus sent two disciples ahead, saying to them, go to a village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt. Untie them and bring them to me. And of course, Jesus is going to get on that colt, and he's going to have the triumphal entry to begin Passion Week into the town of Jerusalem, just 2 miles away. People are going to be throwing things down and hailing him the king, and singing Hosanna to the king. Take a look at verse 12 in that same chapter. After Jesus does that, he goes into the temple, turns the tables upside down and says, you have made my father's house a house of thieves, but it is called a house of prayer for all nations. And he cleanses the temple. And take a look on this same day. After he does that, verse 14, the blind and the lame come to him at the temple and he healed them. So miracles take place. This is a big day. It's the beginning of the Passion Week. And then take a look at verse 17. At the end of this day, he left them and went out to the city of Bethany where he spent the night. Every day, Jesus came into Jerusalem, did what needed to be done during that Passion Week, and then returned to his friends in Bethany to stay at the house of Martha, who had a brother named Lazarus and a sister named Mary. In his darkest times, his most anxious times, he had some dear friends who stood with him. Now, as Jesus is going back and forth into Jerusalem, who's going with him? It's just 2 miles away. He just raised your brother from the dead. There's a big crowd gathering together as he comes riding in on a donkey. See, so many Jews had come from Jerusalem to see this monumental raising of Lazarus from the dead. It was so powerful that the scribes and the Pharisees wanted to kill him because so many Jews had seen it. They knew of him. And now he comes riding in on a donkey. There is such excitement in the air at the beginning of this week. And I can guarantee you there were three people from Bethany who didn't leave his side. And one was Martha and one was Mary. She just poured out her life savings on his feet. Who wants to cook when Jesus is moving into Jerusalem like this? They see it all. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, it says that Mary, Salome, the other Mary, Mary Magdalene, and other women were present. I guarantee you Martha was there. How could she not be there? If they're crucifying her Lord, the one who stayed in her home, he was her best friend. How could she not be at the cross? Ladies, I'm talking to you. And then, 3 days later, there was an earthquake, and some ladies went down to the tomb before the disciples went. Mary, the other Mary, Salome, and other ladies, it says. I guarantee you, one lady was there. Her name was Martha. After Jesus was raised from the dead, it says he stayed with those people for 40 days, preaching about the kingdom of God. You know who is at every sermon? Martha was definitely there. After Jesus was raised from the dead, he was standing on the Mount of Olives. If he looked west, he'd see the Temple Mount. If he looked east, there was Bethany. When you come with us to Jerusalem and you're standing on the Temple Mount and we look over to the Mount of Olives, you're going to see a tall church building. It's called the Church of the Ascension because that's the spot where they say Jesus was raised up into the heavens and 500 people saw him. People in Bethany could have even saw him. But among those 500 people, I want to tell you who was standing there. It was Martha. She was there listening to his every word. And when he ascended up in heaven, she was one of those 500 who was there when the angels, two of them in white clothes, said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing? This same Jesus who has been caught up into heavens shall likewise come back in like manner and go and wait in Jerusalem." Now, if you heard "go and wait in Jerusalem" and you were Martha and the angel said that just after you saw Jesus, not walking on water, but walking through the clouds, guess where you're going to be on the day of Pentecost? Don't tell me she's not in the upper room. When the earthquake came and the mighty wind started to move through that house and the fire of the Holy Spirit was on their heads and they all began to speak in other languages and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they went out onto the streets as ministers of the gospel, 120 of them. They started to preach to all of the people who had come from the surrounding nations for the Feast of Pentecost. And 3,000 people get saved. And the scripture says from that point, the believers went from house to house. The house church movement started. And they were breaking bread and in prayers and in fellowship. And sharing everything that they had with each other. You know who had a church in her home? Who obviously had a church in her home? Perhaps there was two home churches in Bethany. One in the house of Simon the leper. And definitely one in Martha's house. The Bible doesn't give us the details of the rest of Martha's life. But I believe she became one of the most powerful women in history. I believe she was like the disciples and turned her world upside down for Christ. I doubt that anything would have stopped her. I doubt that anything could have held her back from that moment. Ladies, there's an assignment on your life, and you have been called to be a woman in training. Today, I've shown you somebody who the Bible and church history has largely overlooked. I've showed you somebody who is perhaps the most significant woman of the New Testament, besides Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene. I'd put Martha probably in third place. I am anxious to get to heaven. One person I want to meet is Martha. I got to say, "Martha, where's the book about what you did after Bethany stops being mentioned in the Bible?" Men, this is for you too. It's time to get up and move in the power of the Holy Spirit. The wind of the Lord is moving on our land, in our churches, in our homes, and in our communities. And ladies, today, the Lord has spoken to you to call you to the high place of partnership with him. If Jesus did not get in Martha's face, I think with all that happened, she could have got offended and stepped back. And I think some of you have got offended and you've stepped back. But it's not time for being offended and stepping back. It's a time for getting back in Jesus' face and say, well, Lord, if you had been here, well, Lord, he stinks. Whatever it is, get in the face of the Lord. He's waiting for that. He wants to see you initiate and to move in the purposes of the Lord. And he is coming with resurrection power for you. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to pray. Lord, I thank you so much that your hand is upon each person who is in this place. The power of the Holy Spirit is right now moving in this place. And we thank you that you've not called us to be forsaken or overlooked or sidestepped, but you've called us for divine partnership with the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus, I come into agreement with the blessings of God for your life, for the call of ministry on your life, for the discipleship training for your life, for God's purpose for your life, for great and mighty things to happen in your life. I release you this day to that which is your inheritance, the call of God for you and the purpose of God for your life. I release you unto that which God delights to do through you. I call you up now, off the couch, out of the house, into the purposes of the Lord. Lord, I ask now for opening of ears to hear the word of the Lord and the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and for legs that will walk and hands that will be motivated in serving and ministering and opening of hearts. Let it come now for the glory of the Lord. Let the revivals begin in America. Let the revivals begin in Israel. Lord, we open our hearts to you and welcome the coming King and the power of the Holy Spirit for this day. We receive it now upon our lives and upon our families. We pray it in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
If after hearing this message you would like prayer or further information about our ministry, email Dr. Peter Wins at reachus@peterwins.com. That's reachus at peterwins.com. We trust that this teaching has been a blessing to you and has released a greater measure of God's grace and power into your life. For additional teachings, books, and materials, visit our website at peterwins.com or unexpectedfire.com. Christians for Messiah Ministries runs solely on the prayer and financial support of ministry partners like you. To make a donation to this ministry, please write to us at Christians for Messiah Ministries, P.O. Box 36324, Rock Hill, South Carolina, 29732. From all of us here at CFM, to all of you listening, we extend God's richest blessings.